Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley.
The greatest of all time.
Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
This is the greatest show.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Bickley and Murata.
The greatest ever.
You can't get excited about this. You might not be able to be excited.
Greatest of all time.
It's crazy.
Legendary.
So is this show.
Absolutely.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
That's right. Doesn't get any better than this, Viva.
And Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world. I love it. I love where this show is going.
Good.
I'm excited to be a part of it.
Good.
Happy Monday, everybody. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Entering another week into the great unknown. But I'll tell you what, everybody. You're not going to mess with our vibe. We have got our vibe right on this radio program. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, Bick. How you doing?
Well, man? let me tell you what you missed. I'm pulling the curtain back, Jared, just so you know. And now that you're wiping your nose, it's even more appropriate. So every morning when it's time for our show prep meeting, right? It's we have to gather briefly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jared calls everybody. Jared walks into my little sitting area, and the first thing he does, had to. The very first thing
today, but not. You make it sound like every day I do.
No,
that.
No. But don't you know that sneezing is not allowed in this day and age? You can't do it.
That's how you get a brain aneurysm, I think. Is
actually,
you hold it in.
But don't they say that sneezing is a good thing? That sneezing is not a general symptom?
It is not, no.
Okay.
From everything I've read. But still, you don't want, I mean.
Yeah.
We're all on high
Listen,
alert on
germs. I am on cloud nine right now, Vinny. There's a baseball game on MLB Network. Okay, Bert Blyleven is pitching to John Lowenstein. I'm not kidding you. I think that's Duffy Dyer. It's those boxcar hats the Pittsburgh Pirates wore back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? The train conductor hats?
The flat tops.
Yeah. Kent Colvey. All right, I'm sorry.
Hey, Parker. Yeah. Omar Moreno. How was your weekend, Ben?
It was boring, man. How was yours?
Yeah. It's the new normal, man.
No, yeah. I mean, I just did nothing. Yeah, it's the new normal. You know?
I did host another family and friends trivia night last night.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How come I never get invites?
Yeah, how just, deep do you go on those friends lists there, Vinny?
You're not very, huh?
Well, Jarrett, I wouldn't be waiting by your phone.
Nah. There's Eddie Murray.
It got to be a little bit too much to handle last night. I had people playing from seven different states.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. You really are taking this moment to become an entrepreneur, aren't you?
You think I'm monetizing? You think I know how to monetize anything?
I told you I've got five really good book ideas waiting to be done. I've got nothing but time to do it now. Do you think I'm attacking that? No. I'm watching Netflix constantly.
Anything
Seriously,
good?
You talk about somebody not taking advantage of his time.
Did you discover anything good this weekend?
I watched Django Unchained because my daughter wanted to kind of do another Quentin Tarantino movie, which was really good, really long. Really
yeah,
good.
That's 30 minutes too long.
Yeah, it kind of went endless. No, I mean, this was not much of anything for me this weekend.
You know what I started rewatching, and this is why I get reminders that my memory for the things that have happened in the last 10 to 15 years is almost shot. I don't remember anything. I remember stuff from my childhood, adolescence, early adulthood. But one of my favorite shows of all time is 30 Rock. So I've gone back and started rewatching all the episodes. I watched every episode. I don't remember any of it.
Is that right?
It's like I'm watching it for the first time.
Well, that's
fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
What could be wrong with that?
Nothing. So my laxing memory from recent years is paying off. I'm getting new entertainment options.
Okay, give us an update now. Have you shaven?
No.
Have you shaved? Whatever
no.
the tenses I'm looking for. No, you have not.
So this is like...
You must be fuzzy now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just don't... I don't even care anymore.
Anymore.
As opposed to when?
I was told in the... I somewhat take pride in my appearance. I get a haircut usually every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm letting it all go.
I can't wait to
I'm
see
letting
you.
It all go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
I know you, you I heard in the show prep meeting that you got a family member to cut your hair.
I did. My wife cut my hair, and she cut my hair very adroitly, mine and my 10-year-old.
Wow.
So, yeah. So at one point Saturday afternoon, there was a big pile of hair on the floor of my office. There was. But I look sharp, Vinny. I do.
Have you been homeschooling your 10-year-old, by the way?
Homeschooling? You don't understand. The can of whoop-ass verbally I had to open up on him yesterday, you have no idea. He blatantly defied my order, because the kid's playing Fortnite basically 20 hours a day, okay?
This is going to push him to a professional career. You don't understand.
I know. I filled up the air in the tires of his bike. I said, do you want to play catch? He doesn't want to do anything. He defied my order yesterday. I flat out said, no more Fortnite for you. He slunk upstairs, and about a half hour later, when he thought his old man was watching sports, he fired it back up. Yeah. That's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Anarchy. Complete anarchy.
Yeah, my son, his school started online instruction today, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel bad for teachers right now, too.
Oh, so do I. Yeah. So do I. Yeah, my 10-year-old needs some structure badly. You know what? I think we all need some structure. Start the show, Jared.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Now we start the Splash for Monday, April 6th. 2020, with news that happened over the weekend. President Donald Trump had a conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday and said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. He also said later in a briefing at the White House, quote, I want fans back in the arenas. I think it's whenever we're ready, as soon as we can, obviously, and the fans want to be back too. They want to see basketball and baseball and football and hockey. They want to see their sports. They want to go out onto the golf courses and breathe nice, clean, beautiful, fresh air, end quote.
Yeah, he's right about all of that.
That's what we want. Is it possible? Those are the questions that we need to focus on.
Yeah, well, nobody exactly knows. But I do know this. The idea of Major League Baseball moving everything to Arizona is something that is actually being discussed, whether or not Major League Baseball can pull that off. It's a massive undertaking. We know that the NBA is looking at a horse tournament with some of its key players.
Yes.
The idea of football not being delayed is a highly symbolic thing, I think, more so than actually the idea of maybe missing the first month of the season. You know what I mean? I think people can compartmentalize all of this if they've got things to look forward to, things they know will be there for them, you know? As long as the grocery store is open and my NFL is going to be here in September. So, I understand why he's saying it. I hope it's true. I want to believe it's true. And I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, elsewhere in golf, the Masters has been shuffled. The golf calendar being reshuffled. The Open Championship at Royal St. George officially canceled. But the Masters being moved on the calendar from its normal time to November 12th through the 15th. And I know that makes you very happy.
It does, because
of what you just said.
Well, for me, the Masters is one of those things that I put it this way. Tonight was supposed to be the night of the NCAA championship game. In a perfect world, we'd all be watching college basketball crown a champion.
We'd be watching ASU against Michigan State in the final tonight.
How does ASU get to the final of that?
In a simulation?
Seriously.
I don't know. I'll take it, though.
No, I agree with that, but
it's one of, like, 7 billion simulations going on. But, yeah, we'll focus on that one.
So maybe that would have happened. But yeah. So tonight, this to me is the second of the three crown jewels of the spring sporting adventure. Opening day one, the NCAA Final Four and Championship Game 2, and then, of course, the Masters, which would have begun later this week. So the fact that the Masters is still going to be there is cool. The British Open has pulled the plug, so they are off the docket.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting, man. It's something to look forward to. People who like golf will really geek out on looking at Augusta National in the fall rather than the spring.
Yeah. Elsewhere in baseball over the weekend, the Athletic's Zach Buchanan broke the story that three Arizona Diamondbacks minority owners are suing managing general partner Ken Kendrick. They are claiming that he issued an ultimatum, basically a stake under 1%. You were sent a letter that was titled Buy Up or Buy Out. The letter allegedly read that Major League Baseball preferred the Diamondbacks to streamline its ownership group, therefore allowing Kendrick to contract minority owners and force them to increase their stake to at least 1% or sell each of their ownership units back.
So they're effectively thinking that they're being extorted, being forced to sell their stake in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a sports story this is. I don't know how much it relates to what is going on in sports. I suspect it's very little.
I agree with you, but I thought it was somewhat noteworthy.
Because definitely.
The streamlining of the ownership group. I don't know how many people have ownership stakes in the Arizona Diamondbacks. Do you?
I have no clue.
Yeah, and I know Ken Kendrick is the face of that group. It's got to be easier to be the face and head in one direction if you have less people on board. But we'll see about the legality of that. And finally, the NFL's released its all-decade team, and it includes three members of the Arizona Cardinals. Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones all get recognition on the all-decade team.
Wow.
It's good to see Chandler Jones get some sort of recognition from an NFL entity.
Well, yes, I agree with that. And then you think about how dominant Chandler Jones has been over the period of 4 years, maybe five, to make that kind of team.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Chandler Jones was joined by Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Bobby Wagner, Patrick Willis at the linebacker position. Patrick Peterson was joined by Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman at the cornerback and the wide receivers, in addition to Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. There you go. There is your splash for Monday, April 6th, 2020. Coming up over the weekend, the president spoke about the return of professional sports and the desire that fans have to get them back. Is it a reality? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I just spoke with the commissioners, leaders of, I would say, virtually all of the sports leagues. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, Major League Baseball. Roger Goodell, Commissioner of the National Football League. Adam Silver, Commissioner of the National Basketball Association. Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League. Jay Monahan, Commissioner of the PGA Tour. Kathy Engelbert, Commissioner of the Women's National Basketball Association. Dana White, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Vince McMahon, President of the WWE, Don Garber, Commissioner of Major League Soccer, Steve Phelps, President of NASCAR, Michael Wan, Commissioner of the LPGA, Roger Penske, Founder and Chairman Penske Corp, and Drew Fleming, President of the Breeders' Cup, and there are a couple of others on, and these are all the great leaders of sport, and they want to get back. They got to get back. They can't do this. The sports weren't designed for it. The whole concept of our nation wasn't designed for it. We're going to have to get back. We want to get back soon, very soon.
That was a portion of Donald Trump's address, his briefing, after that conference call with all of those commissioners that he mentioned. We got word of this, that it was going to take place on Friday. On Saturday, but we got the word on Friday, and those are some of the details on what the president and how those discussions went. And to elaborate on that last point, here's the president talking about that same general theme.
We have to open our country again. We don't want to be doing this for months and months and months. We're going to open our country again. This country wasn't meant for this. Few were. But we have to open our country again. They want to get back. They got to get back. They can't do this. Their sports weren't designed for it. The whole concept of our nation wasn't designed for it. We're going to have to get back. We want to get back soon, very soon.
I mean, there's obviously very little in terms of specifics there. It's a general feeling, and I think a lot of people feel it. But again, I mean, the concept of, quote-unquote, opening the country up right now, and he's right. I mean, society was not made for this. We were not built for this. I couldn't imagine going through something like this back in the 1960s or 70s before technology is what it is. I mean, you want to talk about a total shutdown.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Could you imagine if the coronavirus pandemic took place like 40 years ago when there was ABC, NBC, CBS, and then like one other channel?
Yeah.
There are like four things to watch on television.
I couldn't imagine. And you'd be watching PBS. That'd be one of your major options. Not a knock on PBS. Yeah. They do a lot of great things. But
take that, PBS.
There were four or five channels back then.
Right. Could you imagine the lack of options? I mean, perspective is important and everything. And you know what? And again,
imagine this happened just 10 years ago before all the streaming services.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, we could have it a lot worse. But again, going back to the very concept of, you know, opening up the country right now, I appreciate optimism. I've used that phrase over the last month on this show. How many times? I don't even know. A countless number of times. But the reality of it is that that notion, even to suggest it right now, scares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it should. You know, from everything that you hear from the medical experts and Dr. Fauci and the like, we are to brace for a very, very bad week in terms of coronavirus numbers in this country. So you got two things butting heads right now. Again, I appreciate the president acting as a beacon, just on a sports realm, acting as a beacon of hope, but it just seems like empty talk right now.
Well, and I hear you. I understand. And I think there's a fundamental divide between the people who know this is happening, but don't really feel it to the way that the people in New York City are. In fact, there's a health official in New York City who put out a Twitter thread that kind of illustrated why all of this idea of social distancing is so, why what we're doing now, the inconvenience of what we're doing now is so important. And it's basically the fact that they're out of morgue space in New York City. And if, say, you've got a family member who dies at home because he can't get a hospital bed or a ventilator, people are calling cemetery homes and they're not accepting their business. So what do families do with the dead body of a loved one who's now sitting in the back bedroom? That's the kind of societal collapse that we've got to get through here, because playing sports when that stuff is happening just really doesn't make sense to anybody. That's why, to me, Vinny, I look at this and I say to myself, the only thing that makes sense to me is you can get real ambitious with this Major League Baseball move to Arizona and or Florida model. You can look into it. You might even be able to pull it off. It would be a massive undertaking with great risk in terms of you might just have to pull the plug on it and look foolish and all that kind of stuff. You might be able to do a horse tournament. You might be able to do a limited NBA thing for a short period of time. But there's no way the idea of creating sports and getting on planes and flying to different cities, athletes, there's a reason why this kind of shook the NBA to the way it did. These athletes were considered super spreaders because they're the ones traveling from city to city.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's going to have to be. And I don't, everything else is just, it's just speculation and talk and optimism or not. And because for a sport to return, it's the federal, and it's going to have to go through governments on the federal and state level anyways. So no sport is going to be able to come out and say, we're back because America needs it. Darn it. We're playing on September 1st. It doesn't work like that.
No, the stubbornness, it just because that's the way it's always been, that's not the healthiest way to look at things. Here's Adam Schefter from ESPN talking about the fate of the NFL season.
The NFL's chief medical officer addressed it this week, as did the NFLPA's medical director. And nobody knows right now. There has to be a system of testing in place before we're going back into stadiums. Maybe they could develop a vaccine at some point down the line, which doesn't sound like it's going to be at some point this season. And as much as everybody wants football to be back, it's hard to imagine it being back in front of huge crowds. You heard the California governor, Gavin Newsom, come out today and say he doesn't anticipate football games being played in the state of California this season. This story changes on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, often dramatically. We don't know where it's going. It's not going in a good direction right now. And it's too early to say that there will or won't be football this season.
Yeah, I mean, again, these entities, they have to have these discussions on all the what-ifs. And it's like Adam Schefter said, it's a changing situation from day to day, from hour to hour, really. They should be having these conversations. I just kind of worry about, I kind of wonder about the validity of making those thoughts public at this point.
Okay, yeah, I gotcha. I would agree with that. I don't think there's... Is it falsely raising hopes and optimism? Yeah, I guess you could make an argument for that. It's not something that's reverberating through my brain. I'm not suddenly like changing my viewpoint on everything based on what the president said, what he wants back. So, I look at it the way that I always have. I think the most important thing for me as a sports consumer, and I think a lot of football fans feel the same way, is can the NFL really get to the NFL draft and conduct it remotely if this pandemic begins to peak in the next couple of weeks in hotspot cities across the United States? Will there be an optics outcry against the NFL doing it? I don't think so. I don't want that to happen. But I think it's interesting that Adam Schefter had such strong opinions against it. And he's really the first. Really, is there another NFL media presence with that kind of swag who has spoken out against the NFL draft?
No, and I think Schefter is more influential, certainly, than Mike Florio. Mike Florio was more influential about it, or more outspoken about it early on, but those are the only two that really come to mind at this point.
And Adam Schefter spends a lot of time talking to general managers, so I think his opinion is formulated by the GMs who feel put off by this. So that's what I want. Let's get to the NFL draft, and we'll cross the next bridge after that.
Yep. Coming up next, the Phoenix Suns were winners over the weekend. So why do some people have a problem with one of their victorious players? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata. Bick's coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Murata. On this Monday, I hope you had a safe, relaxing weekend. Bick's coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. I'm still broadcasting from home. Over the weekend, we saw the beginning, Bick, of the, well, maybe some of us saw it, the beginning of the NBA 2K tournament. 16 players from around the league getting together to crown one champion, $100,000 in charity. On the line on Friday night, we saw DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns defeat Zach LaVine of the Chicago Bulls. Now, neither one of them was representing their own team. Ayton played as the Houston Rockets. LaVine played as Miami. 57-41, Ayton won it. Yesterday, we saw Suns guard Devin Booker take on Michael Porter Jr. of the Denver Nuggets. Porter played as the Los Angeles Lakers. Booker played as the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay, so what's the issue? Well, the issue in some people's minds is that each player is allowed to pick a field of teams that they can choose from during the course of the tournament, because you can only use each team one time. Here's what it sounded like when Devin Booker and Michael Porter Jr. were divvying up the teams going into the tournament.
Lakers.
All right, well, let's get it. I wanted to say these teams, but I'm not matching up with one versus another team.
Nah, I gotta try to advance, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You should have just picked the Suns. I'll pick the Nuggets.
No. No.
Wow.
All right, so that's obviously a moment of levity there, because Michael Porter Jr. did take the Nuggets. Some people are ripping on Devin Booker, not picking his team as one of the teams in his field that he can pick from during this tournament. I say this is not surprising at all, but Devin Booker did tweet about it and said, I didn't pick the Suns because I don't like myself, the way they've programmed me on that game.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that as somebody who plays NBA 2K. They did not give Devin Booker any respect on that game whatsoever.
They didn't?
Not really. I mean, he's decent, but he's not as good as you think he would be on that game.
Yeah, the way that I saw it and the way that I interpreted it was Devin Booker had a very natural reaction to not wanting to play a substandard video game team. I think we have all had that feeling. There have been many, many times when I've played video games when I could have taken maybe a local team or whatever, and you don't do it because you know they're not that good or they're not that exciting or they don't have virtual players who can do a lot of fun stuff. I think it kind of painted a very unknowingly Devin Booker painted probably a very, very clear picture of what it's like to play for the Phoenix Suns at this particular point in time where he's getting paid very handsomely. He's got a max deal to play for him. So playing for the actual Phoenix Suns, it's cool. He's down with it. Playing them in a video game when he's got a chance to play somebody else? No, he's going to want to play somebody else. I have no problem with that at all. I've done the same darn thing in a very limited gaming experience myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know. People don't need to make more or less out of this. You don't have to absolve this completely, and you don't have to say, oh, what is Devin Booker doing? It's just a reality that if you are a guy playing a video game in a video game tournament and you get to pick your team, would you pick the Phoenix Suns? If
no.
Devin Booker got to pick a team to be on, would he? No. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way. If you're in a 16-team knife fight and you get to pick whatever knife you want to use, are you bringing a butter knife?
No, you're not bringing a butter knife. Of course you're not. So to me, I don't think Devin Booker should be ridiculed for this. I think this is just a reflection of where the Phoenix Suns have been and where they currently are, and hopefully they're not going to be here much longer. And hopefully a couple of years from now, Devin Booker will take pride and go, yeah, heck yeah. Because you know what? When you take a look at the fact that Michael Porter Jr. said, hey, I'll play the Nuggets, that's what you want Devin Booker to do. You want Devin Booker to get to the point where he looks at the Phoenix Suns and says, and has such a pride of ownership that he's playing them in a video game. That's not the way it is right now. I would not be hating on Devin Booker for this.
No, not at all. And he's a really good player, by the way. And he kind of raised some eyebrows because you see these guys where they're playing from, and some of them are sitting at the edge of the bed. He's playing in a gamer's chair. He takes this stuff really seriously.
Oh, dude, listen, if you read about this, I mean, he's part of a special fraternity of elite gamers. I mean, elite gamers. He spent a lot of money outfitting his house. He asked one of these elite gamers, what do I do to have your situation? He's invested. Put it that way.
Well,
he's invested.
This is good news because Ayton and Booker both advanced.
Yes.
They are now one quarter of the remaining players. So when you're picking teams for the virtual NBA video game tournament of the players who played the tournament, the Suns will be the top pick of everybody.
Okay.
That is true.
I guess there's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon here. You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Booker advances now to take on Rui Hachimura.
Oh, look, it's a rundown. Oh, man, Eddie Murray,
man,
Phil Garner. I'm sorry.
And you know what Rui Hachimura did? He beat Donovan Mitchell. We would have had Booker against Mitchell in the second round, but no.
Oh, wow.
Age-old debate.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That would have been fun, right?
Yeah, something else that the NBA is working on that I think is pretty cool. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN says his network and the league getting together on another creative idea.
I'm told that the NBA and ESPN are working on a horse event, the old playground game that would include, you know, several high-profile league players playing essentially in isolation in their own home gymnasiums, competing against each other on air, matching shot for shot, each at their own isolated location. I'm told that details are still being finalized on that, but that's something that we can expect to see here in the relatively near future.
See, I like that. That's a good idea. Hey, let me make one last point. I'm going to make a prediction here. If they get to, I don't know where they're bracketed, but if DeAndre Ayton conceivably got to the championship match against Devin Booker, I would bet you a good portion of Suns fans would be cool with Devin Booker being that good at video gaming and not as cool with DeAndre Ayton being that good as video gaming?
Probably. I think you're probably right on that.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you'll hear some backhanded shots at DeAndre Ayton. I don't want you being that good at gaming.
Let's see if they can.
Don't you have wind sprint? Don't you have homes?
Luka Doncic didn't make the finals.
That's right. I mean,
he's busy working on his shot.
That's right.
They're on opposite sides of the bracket. Booker's the 5 seed on the left side of the bracket. And DeAndre Ayton is the 10 seed on the right side of the bracket. Well, so it could possibly be a finals matchup.
But hold on. What was Devin Booker's winning score in his game?
He won by 10, 85-75.
Okay, so he scored 85 points. DeAndre Ayton scored how many in his game?
Ayton scored 57.
Okay, that's, you can see the difference between the games.
Somebody cracked 100. I think Pat Beverly cracked 100. Yeah. No, Trey Young beat Harrison Barnes 101-59. Andre Drummond beat DeMarcus Cousins 101-49. I always say, these 2K tournaments, they don't have, there's no compelling games. They're not close enough to hold my interest.
And DeMarcus Cousins still isn't good under pressure.
No. There was one game that was decided by single digits, and that was Mitchell beating Hachimura beating Mitchell 74-71. That was the closest game.
Wow. Okay, well, later on, I want to get back into this, because the idea of playing a horse tournament with guys in their own gyms, you can do that.
This is a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's come out of this as a plus in these difficult times is the creativity levels that are going up from leagues and individuals.
You could do a dunk contest. You could do three-point contest. You could do all that kind of stuff.
You could do all that. And certainly horse is probably the most tailor-made for all of it. Coming up next, there's a lot of analysts that are urging the Cincinnati Bengals not to draft Joe Burrow at number one. Is it a foregone conclusion or not? We'll tackle that next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
You know, the only thing that I've said is I just didn't want to be presumptuous about the pick, and so that's why I've been noncommittal, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they might not pick me. They might fall in love with someone else. So, you guys kind of took that narrative and ran with it, but there's never been anything like that from my end.
That is Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals back at the NFL Draft Combine in Indianapolis on February 26th saying, hey, I never said I didn't want to go to Cincinnati. That's something maybe you guys were more responsible for. Now the question is becoming, as you know, we get closer and closer to the draft pick, should the Bengals pick Joe Burrow with the number one pick? Last week, NFL.com had a panel of, six, different panelists.
Yeah.
Who were asked the question, what should Cincinnati do with the number one pick? An unbelievable amount said something other than drafting Joe Burrow at number one. Michael Robinson, drafting a quarterback at number one isn't the answer for Cincinnati. D'Angelo Hall, Tua Tagovailoa would make the Bengals offense exciting. David Carr, stick with Andy Dalton. Take the best player in the draft.
Bad take.
Of course, we had the Maurice Jones-Drew.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
An Herbert.
With the Cincinnati Bengals taking Justin Herbert, number one overall. Are you surprised by this? Because it seemed like forever now that this has been a foregone conclusion at number one.
I'm very, very surprised by this because Joe Burrow was that good last year. I mean, his numbers are, as you said many, many times, they're unlike anything we've seen from a quarterback in terms of the big plays plus the completion percentage. You'll never see anything like it. And the kid has got great toughness. He's been able to make plays with his feet. He's certainly not a burner. But what this, I'm going to tell you how this struck me. This struck me as the sport of football might have gone full circle when it comes to, I guess full circle wouldn't be the right way, 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. They've gone a complete polar opposite.
Half circle
in terms of stigmatizing quarterbacks. There was a time when the NFL would frown on dual-threat running quarterbacks. Now, most of those players happen to be African-American quarterbacks, and a lot of people made it about race. And I think in some cases there was a perception that we've only had white quarterbacks, so we're only going to trust white quarterbacks, and these guys have never done this before. But I think it was misinterpreted largely as a racial issue, where that's not what it was. It was that athletes, the pure athletes that could run the ball and were moderate to good throwers, though you could never win with them. I wonder if we have gotten completely to the other side now, where a guy like Joe Burrow, people might even say with a guy like him, yeah, you know what, not dual threat enough for us. You need a guy who's really going to, the fact that quarterbacks going forward might be considered rushing priorities number 1A, if not number 1, I wonder if this whole thing is flipped, and I wonder if a guy like, I wonder if pure pocket quarterbacks going forward become stigmatized the way the running quarterbacks were for many, many years.
I don't know, but I think Joe Burrow is beyond that particular argument. I mean, the numbers are eye-popping, Bic. He completed 400 passes last year in college. He completed 76% of his throws. He threw for over 5,600 yards and 60 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, it's not like he's a statue back there either. The last 2 years, he's run for almost 800 yards combined, which doesn't sound like a ton. But when you consider that college football takes sack totals off your running figures as a quarterback, there is a lot more yardage.
Why do they do that, by the way?
Because it's... it's stupid. Because they're dumb.
It's stupid. Yeah.
Right. I think back in the time, the rushing yardage amassed by quarterbacks, it wasn't considered a big deal anyways. So better to subtract it from their total than somebody else's total. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I think just the opinion that, hey, Tua Tagovailoa might be more exciting, might jumpstart that offense a little better. And that, to me, is crazy. As somebody who watched a lot of Joe Burrow, I'm a big believer, and I think the Bengals would be idiots to not draft him number one overall.
Yeah,
but the fact that you're starting to get some dissenting opinions, I think, is beginning to tell you that the Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes isn't as much of a dual threat guy, but he's very athletic. That prototype now seems to be what everybody wants more than anything. And that never used to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is very much a copycat league. We know that. We've been saying it for decades now. But I think there's a lot of danger in being a copycat just based on the profile of players. I think Joe Burrow is special. I mean, we've never seen a quarterback do what he did. An undefeated national championship season. Oh, by the way, plus numbers that would make a video game blush? Yeah, I don't think this is a question, unless they don't like the personality of Joe Burrow, but there hasn't been much complaint about that. Now, he's got a little cockiness to him, but I think that's a good thing for a quarterback, especially for a quarterback going to a situation like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, you've got to have it, and he's got a lot of personality. I think he's perfect for that organization and for that city.
He's from Ohio.
He's from Ohio. I don't see any flaws with this game. I really don't, and it's right down to the way that he spoofed his 9-inch hands, the measurement at the combine.
Love that band.
That's right. That's right. I think it's interesting, though, that some analysts of some repute are thinking that they might go all the way. Now, that report that Peter King had that the Bengals might be loving Justin Herbert, now that to me is just asinine. Okay? But I could see where the NFL people would make a case that Tua Tagovailoa is better in terms of where the game is going. And I wouldn't buy that either. But I'm just saying that this is quite a departure for the NFL. The NFL once really frowned on dual threat quarterbacks because the implication was that they're not making the right decisions, that they don't make their reads, that they tuck the ball and they run.
They didn't even use that phrase, dual threat. It was a running quarterback.
That's right. You're right. And then there was and for the longest time, that whole subject was just steeped in racism.
Yeah, well, that, speak.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beck.
No,
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of another quarterback, and you kind of hinted at this, Justin Herbert, his stock kind of all over the board. Maurice Jones-Drew says Bengals should take him number one overall. Here's ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. talking about the recent rise of Justin Herbert.
He's got a lot of talent. You can't deny that. He's a tremendous kid. He's super intelligent. There's talk out there that some teams really like Herbert. You've been hearing that. He's got momentum going. You say, how does he have momentum? Because he finished the process strong. And he's clean when you come up to this unknown about how we're going to deal with the draft without any of these medical rechecks and all this testing and pro days and all of that. He's clean. And that's why Justin Herbert is going to be very interesting to see if he, in fact, goes ahead of Tua come April 23rd.
Yeah, somebody get Mel Kiper Jr. out of that well, please.
Yeah.
With the whistles behind him, too.
Yeah.
He's obviously at a football practice somewhere. And again, we're getting to that point, and I know circumstances are nowhere close to normal on all of this, Bick, but we're getting to that point, April 6th, you know, 2.5 weeks away from the draft, that you start to, I think there's a lot of overthinking going on. Not necessarily from the teams, but a lot of overthinking by the people that break this stuff down and present it to the public. What could the Bengals do? I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not a Justin Herbert fan. I'm not saying that the Bengals don't have interest there. I'm not saying that Tua Tagovailoa isn't an option. I just think at this stage, to me, I'm not overthinking it. I think Joe Burrow is the clear-cut number one for the Bengals. You know, if they're going quarterback, certainly that's the pick. Now, could you make an argument, and most people's big boards would bear this out, that the best player they feel in this draft is Chase Young from Ohio State. But, you know, quarterbacks are a different breed. They're thought of differently in this whole process.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I really you can't put anything by the Bengals. You really can't. But that would be really a bad decision. To somehow get off track and allow everything that happened since the college football season to sway you off Joe Burrow.
Yeah. As the voice of Arizona, KTAR News 92.3 FM has launched Arizona Open for Business, a landing page that lists local restaurants and service companies open for business. Visit KTAR.com/openforbusiness to help support these businesses and to submit your own local business for inclusion. Or you could just text OPEN to 411-923. Coming up next, we'll talk to Ryan Russillo. He'll join the program straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata on this Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.